99.1 The Sports Animal brings you inside the fight game of the MMA.
Oh my God.
With a weekly one-hour show.
Whoa!
In the Cage MMA Radio.
Dude, this might be a bad idea.
Hosts Vince Ferrara and Tim Loy bring you a unique perspective from inside the sport. Vince is an MMA lead commentator, cage-side at many events. Tim Loy is a former MMA organization president and current matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge.
From the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Get big-time national MMA interviews, pay-per-view recaps and previews, matchmaking, predictions, strong opinions, compelling content, weekly things you'll learn, and more on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Three-minute rounds. We're underway in Knoxville.
Here's Vince Ferrara.
Long legs, cut-off jeans, pulling me in like a magnet. Your eyes locked on me.
Hey there, welcome in to In the Cage MMA Radio each Wednesday night from 8 until 9 on 99.1 The Sports Animal, streaming at 99.1thesportsanimal.com and on the WNML Sports Animal app. I'm Vince Ferrara. Really appreciate you joining us. Hope you and your family are staying safe during this very wild period of time. Lots to discuss in terms of MMA. We'll do so with our big three stories a little bit later on the show in our third segment this time, because we're loaded up with interviews. Eric Turner from Valor Fighting Challenge and KMAA will join us in about 20 minutes. We'll talk to him, and then he'll stick around the rest of the show with Tim Loy and myself. But first, let's get you started with an interview that Tim Loy and I recently did with Cupman Mark Laws. You're going to love the storytelling and the inside the sport perspective. Here's our conversation with Mark Laws on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Vince Ferrara, Tim Loy, and our special guest. He's the GOAT. He's the best in the business. BITB. Cutman Mark Laws has such a unique perspective on mixed martial arts. He's worked with us at Valor Fighting Challenge at all of our events. So critical to putting together the great productions and events that Valor Fighting Challenge is able to do. Worked on the national level as well. Very experienced in the sport and a super guy as well. Cutman Mark Laws joins us on In the Cage MMA Radio. Mark, how the heck are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic, Vince. How you doing?
Man, we're great. So awesome to have you on. We've been wanting to get our schedules together so we can do it. So let's jump in. Explain your role. What is the job of Cutman Mark Laws for MMA fighters during events?
Most of my job is revolving around reducing swelling, stopping blood, anything that can get a fight stopped. That's what I do. I try to get them through to the next round, or sometimes get them to steal championships.
So are you assigned to one fighter? Do you just go to whoever needs it? How does that work?
It varies. You know, there's some promotions that have multiple cut men. There's, you know, the UFC, you'll see 10 guys out there sometimes, you know. You know, for Valor Fighting Challenge, I've been very blessed to be with them for so long. You know, I've worked every event they've ever had, but it's super important.
Talk a little bit about the differences that you've seen between working on the regional level with Valor. Obviously, you kind of are a one-man show with Valor, where you're working both corners, you're hustling around, wrapping hands all over the place, versus, say, for Titan and some of the bigger promotions where, like you said, they do have multiple cupmen. Maybe you'll have one in each corner or more than that even. You know, talk about some of the differences you've seen regionally versus nationally.
Yeah, nationally, you just have a lot more guys coming in. You'll usually be assigned to one quarter, and that's a great time. You know, you can really give the time to the fighter that's really needed, and I feel like they feel better with that, too, and the other corners do. But then again, you also run into not everybody's great at their jobs, you know? That's a real fact. As it goes, the national level shows the talent always goes up. There's levels to everything. The injuries kind of stay the same. They're not that much different. You're fighting whether you're an amateur, pro, whatever, but the level of injuries, they're pretty consistent. Fighting's fighting.
Let's talk a bit about some of the differences you've seen between boxing and MMA. You do Cutman work for both boxing and MMA. It's two very different businesses, two very different structures, the way that it's ran. You know, boxing more so where a Cutman will be assigned to just one specific fighter or camp, and he's just working with them as part of their corner, versus MMA where it's more spread out.
Yeah, I'm definitely a bigger fan of MMA, but when you have the skill set of being able to stop blood and reduce swelling and getting fighters to continue on, then both sports are very, very valuable for that. As far as cutmanning for boxing, it's a little bit more of a play, it feels like, at times. It feels like there's not a lot of blood in boxing unless they hit heads, or sometimes people get bloody noses and things like that, but the injuries in MMA are substantially worse. But when you're in a boxing corner, it's like you're in a play. You're just playing a part. You'll see it on TV all the time. You can turn on TV any Saturday night and see guys just up there rubbing Vaseline. It's all necessary to some degree, but I like the blood and guts myself.
You're getting the unique perspective of Cutman Mark Laws, who works at all the Valor Fighting Challenge events in the Southeast. Mark, when you're treating fighters in between rounds, what typically is the demeanor of the fighters?
Demeanor of the fighters are pretty much the same, really. You know, they're exhausted. It's a very trying time for them. But more of the variable is the coaching levels. There's some guys that they're telling their fighters nothing. They're just sitting there. They won't even give them water, not even bring the stool. And there's a lot of that stuff. And you wouldn't think that at a professional level that that would ever happen. It happens all the time.
Right.
Absolutely. The fighters just want to fight. I found that across the board. The real discrepancy comes in the coaching.
I'm sure you've seen some things that maybe the normal person would find really gross and disgusting. How often does something like that happen where it's on another level? Boy, this is different than the typical cut or injury that you may see on a week-to-week basis.
It's hit or miss, but they do tend to run together sometimes. In boxing, you don't have that many. You know, you may have a bloody eye, you know, something above the eye. It's always about the vision. That's what you want to try to protect. If they can't see, they can't fight. But MMA, it can be any show. If you're allowed to knee somebody in the face or elbow, then the chances are always there. And you'll see those a lot.
How much are you a psychologist in addition to a cut man?
Man, there's guys that sit down to get their hands wrapped, and you know, there's a million different reactions to adrenaline. You know, there's some guys will be sitting there shaking. A lot of guys, they'll tell me that that's the last thing they even remember is me wrapping their hands. They don't even remember any of the fight. Wow. That happens pretty regularly. A lot of guys, the reactions I've seen, they start shaking, they start talking uncontrollably. I've seen guys urinate 1,000 times before their fight. That happens a lot.
Like sitting there while you're wrapping them?
They just want to get up constantly. It's just nervous action.
You know, we just saw a really crazy one a couple weeks ago with ladies title fight, the Weili Jing and Joanna fight. Obviously, Joanna had a huge hematoma on her forehead that consumed her head, essentially. What did you think about that? Was there anything that you can critique from Cutman that they could have done to prevent that from getting so bad, or was that something that just was going to happen regardless?
I feel like that was best case scenario, guys. Really, what's going to happen is if it keeps swelling like that, it's going to bust. And when it's above the eye like that, that is a fight-stopping injury. Swelling, not so much. You can control swelling with eye. And inswells and other tools, but if it busts open, that's where it becomes more problematic for him.
What's the recovery for something like that for Joanna?
Everybody's different, but typically you're talking 3 to 4 weeks. You don't want any contact, no sparring, no moving. And as far out as like athletic commission suspensions or medical suspensions go,
right,
I'm talking about, you know, 45 to 60 days.
What is the worst cut that you've ever been a part of personally that you were thinking to yourself, maybe I'm not going to be able to get this one closed up enough to get this fight through another round?
Man, there's a lot of them. Some that just stick out. My teammate Dustin Long got one as, I think it was his second professional fight, maybe. The guy that he was fighting is a tremendous fighter, but he caught a knee in the early second round, I think, and it split his head open from his hairline to the top of his eyebrow. And as I was in there addressing it, I was like, they're going to stop the fight. This is a definitely fight-ending cut. Right. And he didn't even know he was cut. He wanted to see a mirror. I'm like, well, I'm sorry, I don't carry a mirror in here with me.
But here you go. You look great.
Yeah. And afterwards, I think I put 28, 29 stitches in him.
Wow.
It was significant. And it just laid his entire forehead open. It's, you know, 2 inches wide as well as 4 inches tall. So it can get ugly.
When people that aren't fans of the sport, haven't bought into it yet, they just speak about the violence of the sport. What's your reaction to people that criticize the level of violence and don't feel it's safe and think it's barbaric even to this point?
Well, I mean, it can get barbaric, but I would probably try to direct them to the training that goes into this. People that haven't been around fighting don't understand, but fighters train harder than anyone.
Right.
Bottom line, they put in more time. A lot of these guys are training 6 days a week, 2 times a day for years, even to get their first pro opportunity. So you see a lot of guys that come through that just put in so much effort, and it can get barbaric. It's a tough sport. It's probably the toughest in the world, right? But I feel like it's getting better over time because you see a lot of kids coming up today that train early. It's becoming more commonplace. You know, when the UFC first started, there was no rules. 2 men enter, 1 man leaves, that right. kind of stuff. And that's what it was built on. And that's, it's a good business model. But as it becomes mainstream and on ESPN and stuff like that, you definitely want to have a little bit of buffering room. And pretty much what my job is to buffer that kind of stuff. And you'll see them go to commercials sometimes and not show you the terribleness of it. But
yeah, in part of your role, we're visiting with Cutman Mark Laws, unique perspective on working with fighters both on the regional level and on the national level. But the safety part of it is what a lot of people focus on, the concussions and the long-term damage. What do you think about the safety of the sport right now?
It is what it is. You're getting punched in the head and body for an extended amount of time. There's right. going to be ramifications. There's going to be consequences. However, nobody's being forced in there. These guys willingly want to do it, and they're born with an innate want to do it.
Right.
So to keep them out of there would almost be a bigger crime. For Valor, I do our medical directing work. You know, I'm hire doctors and hire EMS, and I try to get doctors that train and are around the fight game on their own, you know, by their own accord, and I think that makes a huge difference as well.
You're in a position that not a whole lot of people are in. It's very much a unique niche for, you know, cut men, cut women. You know, there's not a whole lot of them out there. For people that are listening out there that would have an interest in getting into such, what advice would you give them how to start? How would you dip your toes in the water?
Well, I feel like anybody could probably do it. What you need to do is find someone who, like me, a gut man or a gym that you can go to and offer your services. You're not going to be paid for it. You'll likely put in many, many years effort, but you'll learn your craft and you'll hone your skills so much to where when it does come time, you'll be ready. But as far as it goes, I offer like internship programs underneath me a lot. I've had probably 10 cut men come from as far away as Canada, LA, you know, they come out here and just work to try to get that very valuable cage time. The time in the cage, it just makes you more comfortable. You're going to see a lot of injuries, and the more comfortable you are, the faster you can treat them.
I would think that even though we could focus on the injuries and the cuts and things like that, that the level of reward that you get helping these fighters supersedes everything. Is that fair?
Very fair. I come from a nursing background, and I've always liked helping patients. I liked helping people, and this is real-time, instant gratification for it. And they're very appreciative, too, when you have to make the difference in their fight. They're doing all of the hard work. I don't consider myself having to do the hard work. They're in there having to fight their life away and a very tough existence. But, you know, when it all comes together and you win title belts, there's no better feeling.
I got a good one for you here. So you've been on this circuit here for, you know, several years now, nearly a decade. And, you know, you've gotten close with lots of fighters. You've worked with so many guys over and over repeatedly, but then you're working both corners so many times. How do you balance the emotions that go into comforting a guy that's just come off a loss that you're close with and also congratulating and feeling good and happy for a guy that you've seen come up the ranks and do well?
You know, that's a great question. I want everybody to win, and I want to give everybody an equal chance to win. My job should not determine who wins. They have to determine who wins. I don't care to help out as much as I need to, but when guys lose fights, it's tough. I've had to fly home after losing fights with guys, and it makes it really, really, really tough. Coming home winning, there's no better flight, no better time. It's all a celebration the whole time. So you got to take the good with the bad. Consoling guys is tough. Every fighter's different. You're going to have a lot of different reactions.
You get to see fighters in a different level than a lot of people do. They're basically sharing their private time with you, because whether it's them showing you their fear or their passion and how excited they are, you get a chance to see that where a lot of people only see the exterior, what you see during the fight and any interviews. What don't most people see in terms of the type of human beings most fighters are?
They're all very humble. They're very, very considerate. They're very respectful. These aren't the guys that are fighting in bars. Those are not fighters. Those are just crazy people. Fighters, you'll never see them in that circumstance. You know, a lot of them will say that, you know, once they start being paid, why would they fight for free? It's kind of an overtone joke, but it does make sense. You know, these guys spend a whole lot of their life training. Everybody sees the event and the win and all the accolades. They don't understand that for months, years, this is 6 days a week, two times a day, you're running, you're swimming, your level of work is just unparamounted in any other sport.
When people talk about open scoring, are you able to judge a fight from your vantage point, or do you have to be so locked in to what you need to do that you can't look at that kind of stuff?
I can judge it fairly well. I'm far better at judging the fights than I am at picking predicted winners. I'm quite possibly the worst at that. And that just means I want both guys to win. I don't like picking them, but as far as seeing what's happening and seeing how, knowing the criteria that judges have to judge on,
right,
it's pretty easy from my point of view, just in seeing the damage that's done to either guy.
Yeah, you know, they say damage is the number one criteria they should judge by, and you're in there dealing with the damage, so that makes a lot of sense. Who are some of the guys that we should be watching out for on the regional scene that you have been in there up close, that you see them go through their fights as they elevate through the levels and the different stages of their career? Who's some guys that we need to be watching out for that we'll see on the next level, like your Hot Sauces or your Mearshards or your Anders?
I always said the best talent comes out of the Southeast. I work everywhere, so I see a lot of different guys. And I've always said the Southeast produces the best fighters. Now we're just now starting to see that on a national level. Ovince and Scott Holton were the only guys forever. Now you have guys like Jonathan Pierce, Nate Landwehr, Bob Ross, Luis Pena coming out of Valor. There's a lot of guys that are stepping up and showing from Bellator, even there's the Lima brothers. Yep. Douglas and Diego Lima. Those are tremendous athletes. Those are world-class guys. And you're just starting to see it now come out of the Southeast. And I'm super proud that we helped produce some of those guys.
Any social media accounts you want to put out there? People follow you, get some more insights on and your opinions on the fight game?
Sure. Facebook is Cutman Marky Four Fingers and Instagram Cutman Marky Four Fingers Laws. Hit me up. And if you want to come to a show, let me know. If you want to get on some cuts, we can get you there too.
All right, Mark, you're the best. Appreciate you. So lucky to have you.
God bless, man.
That's Cutman Mark Laws. Some awesome stories with that. We will react to our conversation with Mark Laws and welcome in our guest co-host the rest of the way on the show today, Eric Turner from VFC and KMAA. He joins Tim and I next on In the Cage MMA Radio.
99.1 The Sports Animal. Tennessee AD Philip Fulmer and his wife Vicky with a special message.
Hello neighbors, to help the health of our community, we're asking everyone to stay at home as much as possible and practice social distancing.
Working together, we can stop the spread of COVID-19.
Do your part, stay apart.
99.1 The Sports Animal. Former NFL All-Pro Pat McAfee has no filter.
And I was going to be the guy, and I got drunk and lost his phone number.
Get the NFL experience you won't hear anywhere else. From current players, Pat and his buddies.
What if he ends up on the Chiefs or so? And imagine having Antonio Brown, Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman,
Kelsey,
Travis Kelsey,
Damian Williams.
Oh my God.
Mahomes would throw for 8,000 yards.
Listen and subscribe to the
Pat McAfee Show 2.0.
Free wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Who wants a healthier, happier home? Anyone? We Angies sure did, so we called DryCon. Rocky came out and cleaned our air ducts to rid our home of all the dirt, dust, and allergens so we could breathe cleaner, healthier air. Call Rocky at 675-9500 or book online DryConKnoxville.com.
Are you looking for a new adult beverage this lake and boating season? Western Sun Vodka is a delicious small batch handcrafted vodka distilled in Pilot Point, Texas. Carefully distilled 10 times, producing a smooth taste that can be mixed with anything or enjoyed by itself on the rocks. Carrying all natural flavors, using a modern take on old school methods. Their passion is simply to make the best vodka possible. It's summertime, so pick up a couple bottles of Western Sun Vodka for fun in the sun or those balmy summer nights. Western Sun Vodka. Vodka, making your entertaining a little better.
If you want a great-looking fence or secure entry gate that will stand the test of time, you need to call Stanley Fencing and Gate. Proudly serving East Tennessee since 2000, Stanley Fencing can customize your fence. Just tell Stanley Fencing your idea, they bring it to life. Offering chain link, vinyl, aluminum, wood fences. They even specialize in secure entry gates to protect your business. For customized fencing and gates backed by a warranty, choose the Stanley Fence family. Call 865-254-3844 or online at stanleyfence.com.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Hey guys, it's Ainge for Kings of Real Estate, and my friend and trusted realtor Tracy King with Kings of Real Estate is on fire. Tracy sold the home on Misty Ridge Way for $10,000 over asking price, never hitting the MLS, utilizing his extensive list of ready buyers. Agent selection matters, and now's the time you need to work with an experienced agent with a proven track record like Tracy King. I've had the pleasure of sitting down with Tracy's clients who always say we're so glad we called Tracy King. I've seen Tracy's systems and his extensive list of ready home buyers, thousands of pre-screened buyers looking for homes in the Knoxville and surrounding area. Tracy has a solid track record and guarantees to sell your home at your price, or Tracy will buy it himself, guaranteed, in writing. Do yourself a favor and call the agent with the buyers. Call Tracy King at 365-2323, 365-2323, that's 365-2323, and start packing.
Want to have a stunning bug-free shaded room to enjoy the outdoors? A new deck with maintenance-free deck railing system? A new screen or windowed sunroom? From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. Call Diversified Enclosures and Screen now at 453-6780 or online at sunandscreen.com.
Now it's time for In the Cage MMA Radio's weekly marquee interview. Letting you hear from the personalities inside the sport. In the Cage.
Welcome to In the Cage MMA Radio, segment two of the show today. I'm Vince Ferrara, rejoined by Tim Loy, co-host, matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge, and then also Eric Turner joins us as president of Valor Fighting Challenge and the head trainer at KMAA, and like Tim, super guy as well. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Hey, we're socially distant still.
Eric, how you doing? Thanks for joining us. You're going to hang out with us throughout the show, right?
I'm pretty pumped. Yeah, I'm really excited. Thanks so much for having me on. So yeah, like Tim and like you, we're trying to do the social distancing thing. And well, it's working, I guess.
Yeah. Tim, how's this period of time been for you?
It's hectic to say the least, man. There's a lot of moving parts, especially with this thing kind of plopping down right in the middle of two events for us, really even three for that matter. So when you figure you've got 15 to 20 fights on each card, there's two guys in each fight, that's 80 to 100 moving pieces. So when we're having to shift around dates and we're having to push back, that's a lot of correspondence essentially that has to happen with a lot of people. And so, you know, it's hectic. It's a lot of phone calls still. It's a lot of messages still. And a lot of people want information that I don't necessarily have the proper answers for. So it's tough.
Eric, what about you?
I mean, it's tough. You know, it's super duper tough. We have KMA as a business. We have Valor as a business. We have a couple other businesses, and we still have payroll on those businesses that we still have to meet. We're still trying to make that happen. And today we announced that we're not accepting any payments from anybody for the month of April. And we turned down a lot of payments for the month of March. So people lose jobs and people get laid off. They get furloughed and all that stuff. So Taylor runs our nonprofit and a couple other businesses. But, you know, we have a lot of faith that it's going to work out the way it's supposed to. And our faith is really kind of foundational to the way we act and live. So we just believe it's going to get better.
Tim, real quick, let's get your thoughts on our first segment. We had an interview with Mark Law. He's told some awesome stories.
You know, Mark's always a fun guy to have. We're fortunate at Valor to have him, really, because the big top organizations generally have like several cut men, 5, 6, 7, 8 cut men there on site. And it's kind of like a rotating cast. But if you fight for Valor, you know that Mark's going to be there. You know that you're in good hands. You know that you're going to have your hands wrapped if you need them wrapped. He's going to do a good job. And, he's just got a good rapport with fighters, man. They tend to feel confident and at ease, if you will, with Mark because he's just been around for so long. He's just kind of a staple on the scene, and they know that he's going to get them right.
Eric, he said he's been a part of every Valor event that they've ever put together. Talk about the comfort that having a guy with the experience and ability that Mark Laws has to be able to work those shows, and you know that the fighters are in great care.
Well, I know that Mark always does a great job. And like Tim says, you know, he always wraps hands and he's willing to help him do whatever. But one of the things that I always appreciate is that I know that if my guy or girl gets cut in a fight or gets a swell in a fight, he can shut it down. The only other downside to Mark is sometimes he does it for the other corner.
Right.
So, yeah, he's got to be there for everybody. Talk about Valor Fighting Challenge and where we're at right now with this coronavirus and working with the governments and the offices and trying to put the shows together when it's appropriate. What's that experience been like for you?
Me and Tim obviously talk a lot, and I think he described it best. It's just kind of a nightmare at the moment because you're dealing with local governments, you're dealing with county governors and mayors, and you're dealing with Tennessee Athletic Commission. They've all been really great to deal with for the most part. And then you're trying to deal with the venue places. You know, can we do this then? Can we do this there? We tried to move back our April card to April the 18th, and we just had to cancel that. But that's not to say, you know, that Tim didn't put together matches for April the 18th and reach out to fighters and talk to people about it. So first, we had that great show in Chattanooga. We're super excited about going back to it March 28th. And, you know, that's going to be a great show. There's a bunch of big fighters on it. For at least one of them, it's probably the last time you ever get to see him fight local as a pro. That was a big blow. You know, obviously the fighters in Chattanooga and North Georgia and stuff like that. So that hurt. And then we lost our April the 3rd card here in Knoxville, which was just, you know, another tough big blow because we had so many pros on that card. We had a bunch of people making debuts and, you know, moving in the right direction. And all both those fell apart. So me and Tim were like, well, let's put together an amateur card. So Tim went to work and put together some really great, exciting matches that, you know, we thought, man, these would be great fights. Since it got pushed back, we lost that one too. So, you know, at the moment, we're trying to hold our May card, May the 18th, Saturday, and there'll be a big Pro-Am card. That should be a huge card. So hopefully, you know, people will be pretty excited about watching MMA come May 18th, or at least getting out of their house or having a beer, seeing some of their friends face to face. You know, hopefully we can do all that stuff because, yeah, for Valor, it's just been really tough. Tim has done an enormous amount of work and he deserves a ton of credit because it's not easy. It's not easy letting guys know that the fight's off. It's not easy making the fights happen when you want them to happen. It's not easy dealing with the state and counties. And, you know, our show in Chattanooga is at the school, so you're dealing with the school too. So Tim deserves a lot of credit. He's done so much work here the last couple of weeks that it's all been kind of for naught, but that's not to say that he wasn't busting his butt every day for the fighters. And I think fighters owe him a lot of gratitude for all the work he's put in for them.
So, Tim, to follow up, and I'll let you pepper Eric with some questions. As you're continuing to move these events back, and now you're trying to combine shows onto one baby card that you're working on, how are you handling putting all those puzzle pieces together while still not having a clear, definitive word on whether those guys are going to and women are going to be able to fight?
Well, I've got to say that I'm appreciative of having a good roster of fighters that are pretty good to, and easy to work with. You know, everyone's in the same boat as us as far as their gym goes for the most part. So while these fighters, they want to compete and they're willing to compete, keep in mind that their gyms are closed for the most part. So they're not able to properly really train like they normally would, but yet they're still willing and want to get out there and compete. So for them to be able to push back and move and things like that, I'm very appreciative to them. Those coaches, those fighters have been really easy and amenable to change, as we all just have to be at the moment. And we're blessed to have a good owner in Eric that just is willing to kind of roll with the punches here. And, you know, hey, Eric, can we push to mid-April now? Sure, let's give it a try. And, you know, everyone's just got to work together through it, really. It's kind of just a microcosm of the world at this time in our little niche.
Do you find that, like you hear about with the UFC, that fighters want to fight, they don't care, they want to be safe, but they want to still fight and entertain? Is that the way you found fighters in your gym and just fighters in general you've talked to be?
Yeah, I mean, we have a big roster, obviously. And so when I asked our fighter group who wants to fight, I think more than half of my amateurs were like, I want to do it. I want to fight for sure. As of until last night, Emily still had a fight in May, so we still have to be training for that. And Vince has a fight April 25th, so we still have to be training for that. So when Vince needs to train and we have to find a way to train and Emily's got to train, I need two bodies for them at the minimum, right? So now I got to bring another girl in and now I got to bring another big guy in to train with Vince and train with Emily. So, you know, all of our fighters have been super on board with whatever it takes, whatever is necessary in order to help the team. At the same time, obviously, you know, we go overboard whenever we get together and train. Everyone sprays everything down with Lysol. Everything cleans everything. Everyone comes in smelling nice and sparkly fresh, right? So we try and do our best to keep the people that have to keep training, training. But the UFC that's going to go on April the 18th, there's still got to be a bunch of guys somewhere training. So while I certainly can understand the general consensus that people need to self-quarantine and people need to be safe and we need to take care of the people that, you know, are immunocompromised as best we can, those guys got to train somewhere and they got to have partners to train with those people while they're training somewhere. So, you know, it's been a really delicate balancing act, trying to make sure we get people training and get people doing it the right way and trying to balance that with just keeping the community safe in general, which is obviously a, you know, a hugely important thing for everybody.
Obviously, being an owner of a promotion, owner of a gym, and then on top of that, having a large fight team, got kind of three different arms right now that you're having to kind of deal with this whole situation, whether it be from we've got to postpone events where we're trying to hold lots of people at our events to your gym situation where every day you've got nearly 100 people that come through there, then you're having to the logistics of that out, and then your fight team who has multiple different arms going out to UFC, Bellator, locally at Valor, M1, different event closures. What would you say has been the most challenging of that little trio of hell?
They're all challenging. And you hit it 100% on the head when you said that it's just really difficult right now. Because we have people like Dre, who's supposed to fight in M1 Global. And if I got Dre in a room, then I need to have a small guy in the room that can kind of do what his opponent's going to do. So it's been a super big challenge. Valor has been a big challenge. But like I said earlier, you've taken so much of that pressure off of me, Tim, by helping me set up things or reach out to people and try and move events around. So that's been at least a stress relief, because I know that you're capable of doing it and you're good at it. And you know what you're doing. So that is a big stress relief. Probably the biggest stress relief, and that we just don't have any control over, is just like these total, like the gym has to shut down. Mm. You know, and the governor, Lee, he's a good governor, and, you know, Mayor Kincannon, she's a good mayor. They just don't understand our situation. So when we're like, okay, fine, we're going to close the gyms, but what about this thing? Can I train with three people? Can I train with four people? Can I train at the park? Can I do this? They won't give us any answer, and we have no idea how long we're going to be closed. So, you know, KMA has a fair amount of overhead, obviously, because we're a big gym. We're very blessed to have a fair amount of capital flow as it works through every month. But when the governor just decides to shut everything down, you're like, oh, well, my my overhead doesn't go away, guys. You know, how do you want me to do this? So that's probably been the biggest stressor, is just like, I understand let's keep the community safe and I understand let's be closed, but can I work with a fighter that has a big fight coming up? You know, because Vince makes a lot of money and that's a big deal for him. It's a, you know, co-main event slot on a big show. So that's like, well, can I train him? And you know, right now the answers we've got from both the mayor of the county and the mayor of the city is no answer. So we're just kind of doing it on the, you know, like, hey, we'll get together and train, but we're not really open. So type thing. And there's four of us or something, but that's what we're trying to do. And, you know, we want to keep everyone safe, but just because people are sick doesn't mean you shut down everyone's life all the time. Sure. You know, we have to find some way of doing it or balancing out better. And I'm mostly happy with where we are now. Like I said, you know, Mayor Kincannon, and she's in a tough spot. The mayor of the county doing a good job too. So, you know, it's tough call to do this one size fits all. Everything gets shut down just because. Yeah, the gym thing has probably been the biggest stressor.
That's it. Eric Turner along with Tim Loy. I'm Vince Ferrara here on In the Cage MMA Radio on 99.1 The Sports Animal and streaming at 99.1thesportsanimal.com, and you can download the free mobile app as well so you can listen to us wherever you happen to be. We appreciate you listening. All right, Eric, last thing, we'll get to break here before we get to our three big stories and get your opinions on some national stuff. Bring us up to date. You mentioned Vince. Bring us up to date, next fight that he knows of, and then his training since the last time we got an update from him.
He's been training hard. Him and Jason King, they went out to California for about 10 days to get some training with John Labarante, who's really helped a lot with Vince's wrestling and all of my guys' wrestling. He's a great guy. He lives out there in San Diego, and they got to obviously train with some great teams out there. So that was really good for Vince. As far as we know right now, everything's still good to go. He's fighting a Dagestani dude, which is kind of the same Khabib situation. So I was talking to his manager this morning, making sure, you know, he's in the country. So we can still have this fight. And he's training here in the state, so we still have a fight as far as I know. So, you know, right now we're just plugging along and doing the best that we can and getting in training. We normally do training at our gym is for pros 3 hours a night, every night. But we do about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And so that's good. So now we just have to change up Vince's diet a little bit. Otherwise, he was consuming too many calories for the amount of work that he's doing. So that's been a bit of a struggle and a challenge, but we've overcome it and been very blessed to be able to do that.
Follow up on that real quick before we get to break. Is a move to heavyweight something that Vince or you have discussed or an option for him at some point?
Yeah, we've talked about it a fair amount. This fight camp, as Vince gets older, we all do, right? Our bodies don't respond the same way. So Vince does train a lot, and just a normal day of training for him is probably somewhere between 4,000 to 6,000 calories a day. Wow. But whenever you get older and you're still eating that many calories, it's just harder for it to come off. So, you know, depending on how this fight goes, his weight's good and it's coming down good and it's doing what it's supposed to do. But depending on how this fight goes, I think it might be easier for him to fight heavyweight because he still moves super fast. And whenever we go places like Atlanta or like California, San Diego, he trains with a lot of heavyweights and he's so much faster than them. It's mind blowing. So right now he's slowing down for his division because everyone's small and fast. But in the heavyweight division, Vince is head above everyone as far as speed and his power is obviously equivalent and his cardio is real good. And obviously he would love to not have a weight cut. Like every fighter would not like to have a weight cut. We talked about it. So that might be something you might see in his next fight or maybe the fight after.
All right. Good stuff. That's Eric Turner, president of Valor Fighting Challenge and head trainer at KMAA in Knoxville, along with Tim Loy. I'm Vince Ferrara. We'll take a look at the three biggest stories in the sport. Thank you, Dana White, for giving us things to talk about on a weekly basis, trying to keep UFC 249 alive. We'll discuss. That's next on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Picture it, the warm summer sun and your own refreshing, beautiful pool. Call Pools by Heritage today and you'll have a backyard oasis in no time. Great deals are on now, so beat the summer rush. From design, construction to maintenance, Pools by Heritage does everything in-house. They've built gunite pools for years. Your only limitation is your imagination. Be sure to ask about pool houses, outdoor kitchens, and fire pits too. Call now, 947-7527 for Pools by Heritage or visit poolsbyheritage.com.
Wash your hands, avoid sick people, and touching your face. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Since its beginning in 1968, Kitchen Sales has been Knoxville's source for fine kitchen and bathroom cabinetry. Besides carrying one of the largest selections in cabinets you'll find anywhere in East Tennessee, Kitchen Sales prides itself in being competitive with salvage store pricing, while still offering free in-home consultation and design services. Kitchen Sales offers cabinets ranging from a low-budget line to a fully custom line. Whether it's a remodel, new construction, or a commercial job, their only goal is to make you a satisfied customer. Kitchen Sales experts will work with every customer to make their dreams become a reality. Don't forget to ask an expert about countertops, appliances, and available financing. Two locations, downtown at 2500 Hoyt Avenue, just off of Cherry Street on I-40, and in West Knoxville at 8859 Town and Country Circle. Kitchen Sales is ready to turn your home into a showplace. From design services to project completion, your one stop should be Kitchen Sales. For more information, check out their website, kitchensales.net.
Southern Grounds does landscaping. Visit their website at sggreen.com to see the many satisfied home and business owners who have trusted them for landscaping design, from paver patios, hardscaping, retaining walls, to plant installations, pruning maintenance, and installing and maintaining irrigation systems. Let their experts transform any space into the beautiful, relaxing green area you always wanted. Quit envying your neighbor's yard. Call Southern Grounds today, 919-5296. That's 919-LAWN, Southern Grounds. Visit them at sggreen.com.
Hi, I'm Brian Chapman, your local GEICO agent. My staff and I would love to help you save on all your insurance needs, including car, home, boat, and more. My local GEICO office is located on Kingston Pike in Knoxville, so stop by or give us a call for a free quote.
Don't you love that feeling when you've just nailed your look? That's how it feels to use Stitch Fix, your personal styling service that delivers hand-picked clothes right to you. Stitch Fix is simple and convenient. Sign up in just a few minutes, and you can try out new styles right at home. And there's no subscription required, ever. So, isn't it time you started nailing your look? Get started today at stitchfix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
Taco Bell is delighted to bring you a dynamic duo of dazzling flavors. It's the Grande Burritos. One, a taco reimagined with crisp lettuce and crunchy red strips. The other, filled with slow-cooked chipotle chicken. Both for the show-stopping price of just $1 each. How's that for a grande finale? The $1 Grande Burritos, only on Taco Bell's Cravings Value Menu. Value beyond belief. At participating U.S. locations for a limited time. Contact store for prices and participation, which vary. Tax extra.
What big events are coming up in MMA?
Well, right now, Vince and Tim have the answers.
This is the pay-per-view and MMA show preview on In the Cage MMA Radio.
I'm like, hell no, been waiting too long.
Welcome back to In the Cage MMA Radio on 99.1 The Sports Animal each Wednesday night from 8 until 9. I'm Vince Ferrar alongside Tim Loy and Eric Turner. Tim Loy, matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge. Eric Turner, he is the president of Valor Fighting Challenge and the head trainer at KMAA, such a great camp in the area. And we'll talk more about KMAA and what Eric's got going on there with a great Southeast regional promotion in Valor Fighting Challenge coming up. But it's time for our three biggest stories in the sport. Normally we do it in the first segment, but earlier in the show you heard from Cupman Mark Laws. Last segment we visited with Eric Turner, and then normally in this segment we would preview the next event. Well, we'll kind of do that because UFC's 249 show that's still out there with Dana White, but now the main event has been changed again as Khabib Nurmagomedov can't leave Russia. Eric kind of mentioned a similar situation. So that fight with Tony Ferguson is off for the fifth time, guys. Tim, start with you. What do you think about this huge news that has to have devastated Dana White?
I'm actually surprised. There was all the talk in the lead up that, you know, this fight's cursed and, you know, it's just not going to happen. And I was like, no, they're going to make this thing happen. Like, Dana, by hook or by crook, knows that this has got to happen. He's going to make it happen. And it's not going to happen. It's nuts. That said, if they can replace him with something suitable, Gaethje is the talk. I'm good with it. I'm in. It's not going to be a hard sell to get me in still just for something.
Eric, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to say both, Tim. I just can't believe this fight's not happening. I was looking forward to it so much, as every MMA fan in the world is, right? This is a huge fight, and it has to happen. So I'm just super bummed that it fell apart. And I'm excited to watch Gaethje. Gaethje doesn't know how to have a boring fight. So you put him in there with Tony, and you're going to get a war, and someone's definitely getting knocked out. So that would be an awesome fight to watch.
Yeah, Gaethje is ranked fourth in the division rankings, and he's been offered up to Ferguson. Eric, do you think Ferguson's going to say, hey, let's go? I mean, he's kind of still taking shots at Khabib, saying he's hiding in Russia, which I think is totally not fair.
No, I think Tony will fight him. We've gotten to know him a little bit at UFC events, and his coach is a good guy named Billy Fanua. And I love Coach Billy. He's amazing. He's a great guy. And Billy only knows one way, and that's to step forward and punch people in the face. So I would imagine his student is the same way.
So, Tim, it looks like they're focusing on U.S. venues right now because, obviously, these travel issues have really sent things sideways when it looked like it was going the direction of outside of the U.S. Now they're focusing on contacting fighters within the U.S., maybe an Indian reservation, something like that. What do you think about this secret venue that Dana White doesn't want to give up?
Well, you know, last week we were talking that Dubai was kind of the front runner, and now it seems like that's not going to be the case as all the travel out of UAE is suspended, so it won't be Dubai. As far as the United States venue, I've read that there's four or five in the running, and they're talking to Florida pretty heavily because there was a show in Florida, Combat Night, in Jacksonville, I want to say, like 2 weeks ago, and they did a closed venue, or they just did broadcast only, and the Florida Commission, they ran with it, and they pulled it off, and so it shows that they are at least agreeable to trying to pull something like this off. And I would guess they're the front runner right now, unless, you know, a reservation type situation pops up. But it's really just a perfect example of how fluid everything is still. You know, the UFC still doesn't have a set venue for a show in a couple of weeks. That is, again, a microcosm of what we're working with everywhere, and that things just change so quickly.
Yeah, Dustin Poirier, he said, hey, I'll fight Tony. He's actually ranked higher than Gaethje is. Masvidal's jumped in and he said, hey, I'll offer my services. I'll fight. I guess he wants to maybe do an Usman fight. Eric, do you think that Dana White is being reckless at all in trying to put this together? He's really defended himself publicly and saying, hey, we always take all precautions in trying to make sure that our fighters are healthy even before COVID-19. What do you think about him being so adamant to try to put this show together even without fans?
Well, you know, we got an email from Donna. She does liaison for the athletes. We got this email probably 3 weeks ago, and they had this very enhanced COVID-19 process for all athletes, all corners, anyone that's going to be anywhere in your venue. As soon as you get to the UFC, you always do your check-in stuff. You fill out paperwork and sign posters and stuff. But now it includes like a temperature check that every day. So every day you have to come down and check your temperature. All your corner people that are going to be there have to check their temperature. You have to do some other tests they have. So they're doing everything they can to keep their athletes as safe as possible. And then if only their athletes are around their other athletes, then they're doing that too. So they're clearly doing some really enhanced stuff for their athletes to make sure they're as safe as possible. And obviously all of the people that work with UFC, they're also on the same boat of doing these enhanced things too. So I just feel like they're doing the best that they can to keep people as safe as possible and keep their business alive. Because I'm sure, you know, they have contracts with people and they got to put on shows and they got to do things. So just because there's this sickness, and it's a big sickness and it's a real problem, doesn't mean that everyone can shut down everything at the same time. So I think the UFC is trying to be as responsible as possible.
Tim, as far as Khabib and Ferguson, is this something that they, you think, will try to revisit maybe later in the year? Because Khabib doesn't fight in the summer for religious reasons. So it's not like they can just push it back a month and say, right, hey, we'll just wait then. It could be a while before they even try. What do you think about the future of that potential fight that everyone wants to see?
I think if it doesn't happen this time, the odds of it happening decrease, just period. I'm not saying it won't happen, but I'm not going to get my hopes up anymore. Not to mention, like, what happens if Gaethje just comes in here and knocks out Ferguson?
Right.
Then there's no demand for it anymore.
It is interesting. I don't know if you guys saw it, but Dana White kind of poking fun at himself in a tweet. He put a GIF, and the tweet said, Dana White trying to put together UFC 249 and had this woman putting her leg through a bench and then bending her leg like Gumby. So he was poking fun at himself. But he's been really critical of anyone that has gotten on him for trying to put this show together. Last thing on this, Tim, is this going to happen in some form or fashion, do you think?
I still have faith that they're going to pull it off. I feel like the UFC machine is a powerful machine. And so they've canceled these other shows in the lead up. The machine has a month essentially to focus on this one event for the most part and pull it off. I feel like Dana was very adamant that he was going to go forward with the other shows that got canceled. So once those got canceled, you know, it was a little bit of egg in his face to a degree. So I feel like he doesn't want to have that happen again. I feel like we're going to get the very best effort possible to make it happen, and I'm confident that it will. In fact, I bet on it. There was a proposition on my sportsbook, will UFC 249 happen? And I said,
All right, our second story in our big three stories in the sport, we'll move through these last two fairly quickly, and Eric, I'll get your thoughts on this one first. Wednesday night, Thursday morning last week, John Jones arrested in New Mexico for alleged aggravated DWI, negligent use of a firearm, possession of an open container, according to the Albuquerque Police Department. According to Ariel Helwani, it's a second DWI charge, also had an arrest on a battery charge that was settled, and he pleaded no contest to. What do you think about John Jones, such a massive figure and legend in the sport, getting into trouble once again?
Well, it's frustrating. Obviously, you know, as every fan, you're just frustrated when this silliness keeps happening and happening and happening. And he's obviously got some real demons. And it's just important that people separate out the fighter from the person. As a fighter, I think he's the greatest fighter we've ever seen fight, period. As a person, he's got some real problems, and I think he needs a lot of help. Unfortunately, most of the people that surround him are just yes men that are just, yeah, do that, let me get this for you, let me do that. So I think he needs to create a whole new environment for himself. It's a real problem. A lot of fighters have demons, and that's what they use that to channel and become better fighters, hopefully better people, obviously. It just doesn't seem like he's found a way to do that. Great fighter, yes, not so much a great guy at the moment. So but it just, it's frustrating.
Tim, what's John Jones's future in the sport? What will the UFC do, if anything? What do you think about the future for John Jones?
Yeah, I agree with Eric. He's definitely got some issues that need to be addressed. At the same time, as far as will UFC do anything about it, I don't know that they will. I don't expect to see, unless, you know, some huge indictment comes out of this to where he's found guilty of something much worse. I don't think that they will do anything, especially with the COVID stuff right now. That's all just like extra crap that they don't probably want to have on their plate right now. And John Jones, you know, like Eric said, he's the best of all time. He's got some work to do in his personal life, obviously, but he's kind of in a situation where he's already on top. Probably, as much as I hate to say it, unlikely that we see a change in him before he's just gone, before he just retires or just fades away. A lot of the times you'll see those come up stories from people that have these issues on their way up, and they'll change things around and they'll get to the top, and it's a great story, you know. But John Jones's issues have happened once he's already been to the top and is reaping those that glory and those benefits.
All right, our third story in the big three stories quickly, guys. All May Bellator events have been postponed. Release last night from Bellator. Tim, bring us up to date on this.
Yeah, they just put a statement out last night. Bellator 242, May 9th in San Jose, Bellator London the next weekend, and then Bellator 243 in Temecula, California, May 29th. All those fights are postponed. They're hoping to get them rescheduled with the same matchups as soon as possible. I literally talked to Rich Chow about it last night, and he lives in San Francisco, and a lot of those Bellator staffers are in California where they are on lockdown right now, and so they're really dealing with it more so than anyone in this sport.
And Eric, any of your fighters impacted by this?
Yeah, Emily was supposed to fight Carrie Melendez, Gilbert Melendez's wife, on the May 9th show. So we lost that fight last night. So that's a bit of a bummer for him and for us. You know, that's a big fight. We thought it was a good fight for us. So, you know, he got pushed back, and Rich was very adamant that it's still going to happen. So it's happened at a later date.
That's Eric Turner from Valor Fighting Challenge at KMAA, Tim Loy, matchmaker for VFC. I'm Vince Ferrara here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. We're next with the lightning round here on In the Cage MMA Radio. Stay with us.
When special guests call in to 99.1 The Sports Animal, you hear them on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, stanleyfence.com.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19. Those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit SalvationArmyUSA.org.
Here's a Sports 180 soundbite.
Greg Sankey has left open the possibility of those taking place. There won't be any spring games. Those are off, and yeah, as are pro days.
I still imagine that there's going to be some... One, I've thought about this a lot. I think they're just going to put spring practice into like a summer category at this point in time. Like maybe June, they can have 15 practices. I don't think you really want to make fall camp any longer because remember what a grind it already is. Now, I know they only do the one practice a day, but by the time you get to the last week of fall camp, people are just way over it. I mean, because it is grueling still. So I don't think you're going to see them add any practices there. And that could end up being detrimental, you know, if you added too many and guys start getting hurt or banged up before the openers. But I think you will see if, in fact, we do return to normalcy, like Dr. Fauci was talking about in 10 weeks. Say it is 10 weeks. It's the last Wednesday in May from today. Could you see the NCAA let these coaches or the leagues let these coaches do 15 practices in June? Most guys come for first session of summer school anyway. So I would imagine that that's very possible.
Yeah. And you would still have more players than you have now because for the spring, those guys who arrive in the summer obviously aren't on campus yet.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a good point too.
Maybe that would be a possibility.
Yeah. And I think they should. I think they should do something. Maybe it's not 15. Maybe it's 10.
Just loosen the rules on coach-player interaction.
Yeah. And so I feel like that will help everybody. And that will really help the guys that they're in their first year. You think of Drinkwitz and some of these other, Leach and Kiffin at Ole Miss. I mean, that at least give them some sort of an identity with their team before fall camp starts.
I would agree with that. So everything is still being, I think it's being considered a long way because nobody has a definitive timeline of what will happen, when things will open back up. As you mentioned, Dr. Anthony Fauci, he's talked about an 8 to 10 week timeline of things hopefully being back to normal, but that's also a hopeful idea right now. That's kind of a projection.
Yes, that is not. I mean, now he has access to data that we don't, and he understands it. But
sure, he's not randomly throwing numbers out.
Exactly. But because we are dealing with such an unpredictable variable at this point in time with a disease we don't know much about, they're still trying to figure it out. That could change. I mean, it could
change.
8 to 10 weeks
though is mid to late May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is tough. It is really hard to think about, especially for all the people. And I talked to some people earlier today that are working from home and their kids are home and just trying to manage all that. I get it. It's got to be very difficult. So hopefully we can all just get through this together.
There's still a lot of MMA to tell you about and react to. Since we're short on time, we'll have to make it quick. But we promise it'll be good. Here's the MMA Lightning Round on In the Cage MMA Radio.
That corner booth at the diner off of 6th and Park.
Welcome back to In the Cage MMA Radio with Tim Loy and our guest co-host today, Eric Turner for Valor Fighting Challenge NKMAA here in Knoxville. Great to have you with us. All right, it's lightning round time. First, Eric, we were talking about Habib not really fighting in the summer. Let's clarify that. It's Ramadan that he doesn't fight during that period of time, right?
Yeah, he doesn't train or compete, obviously, during Ramadan. Ramadan, Muslims are not allowed to eat from sunup to sundown. So it's very difficult, obviously, to get in 2 days working out if you're not eating at all. So he doesn't train or work out during Ramadan. And I'm pretty sure it starts April the 23rd and it lasts for a month. Mm-hmm. So in theory, he would just be out for basically a month, the month of April and May, and then he could start training again. So, it's possible he could see this fight by maybe July or even August.
Right. But then if he is restarting for the beginning, in his view, on a camp right afterwards, then that's why maybe it could be a while before we see him back in there. But that's, the Ferguson fight is a totally different story from that standpoint. On UFC 249, Tim, there's another significant fight that if it does happen, we could see on that card.
Yeah, they're talking about moving the main event from Columbus onto that card as well. It's a big heavyweight fight, Francis Ngannou and Yair Rozenstruik. That's a pretty big fight, a main event card. So I wouldn't be surprised for them to put some, stack this thing up with a big lineup for pay-per-view.
Submission Underground 12. We actually had a fight sport that happened this past weekend. It happened in an empty arena in Oregon. They really limited the personnel in there and took even greater precautions. Only one camera. There was only one commentator, which is Chael Sonnen with his organization. No corner men or women. Everybody was covered up. What'd you think of the way they put that show together?
It was kind of a surreal broadcast, to tell you the truth, but I was excited for it because it was just something at this point. Chael has been very adamant that that was going to happen, and, you know, they've got Fight Pass behind them, which makes it a lot easier for them to pull something like that off when you've got, you know, content rights fees coming in and you don't depend on a live gate.
Eric, you guys at KMAA, what do you guys got going on for those that can't come into the gym normally for everybody?
Well, we have classes for everybody on our KMA Facebook page. If you just go up Knoxville Martial Arts Academy and you want to take up to 6 classes a day, we'll make sure you're ready. Kids' classes, kids' jiu-jitsu, adult kickboxing, adult MMA. And they're all for free for everybody. You know, since we can't be in the gym, we want to make sure we reach out not to just the people that are in our, you know, members of our studio, but to the community in general. Because everyone's in the same boat. We're all trying to get through this together, and that's the only way we will get through it. So we really thought it would be better than just offering it to our members, but to offer it to everybody, because everyone's got kids in house and I'm sure they're going stir crazy. So log on to Facebook and have them do 2 workouts that, you know, burn some of that energy off.
Awesome. Well, Eric, great to have you with us as our guest here today. Awesome what you're doing for the community and helping everybody out. And, we look forward to seeing you at a VFC show and get you back on the show here real soon.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Vince. Thanks, Tim.
All right. Thank you, Tim. Awesome job, sir. You stay safe over there. We'll do it next
week.
Next week, we'll give you updates on what's going on in the sport of MMA, both nationally, regionally, and locally as well. We'll have a couple of guests that will join us on the show, and we will start our division analysis in the UFC as well. That'll do it for this week's In the Cage MMA Radio, each Wednesday night from 8 until 9. I'm Vince Ferrara. Have a great night. We'll talk to you next week. You're on 99.1, The Sports Animal. See you. Be safe.
Close your eyes. Let your mind escape. It's a beautiful day. The sky is a brilliant blue and temperatures are soaring. Now is the time to make your dream come true. Call Pools by Heritage and enjoy your new pool this summer. For over 30 years, Heritage has been building quality gunite pools. From design and construction to maintenance, Heritage does everything in-house. Plus, Heritage can add an outdoor kitchen, pool house, outdoor fireplace, or fire pit. Call 947-7527 or learn more at poolsbyheritage.com.
Trying to figure out what's for dinner? All Occasion Catering is offering family meal kits for curbside pickup or delivery. Skip the barren grocery stores and head over to 922 North Central Street in downtown Knoxville. Family-sized meals like lasagna, barbecue, fried chicken, casseroles, homemade chicken salad, and more, all for under $25. Visit allocasioncatering.com and click on Family Meal Kits or call 865-521-1300. Family Meal Kits by All Occasion Catering.
Hi, I'm Jason Carson, General Manager, Toyota of Knoxville. During these unprecedented times, our team is here to meet your automotive needs. As an essential business for transportation and repair needs, our showroom and service drives are sanitized and ready for you to make your appointment. Or we will come to you so you don't have to leave your home. Call us at 865-218-3300 or visit us online at toyotaknoxville.com. We're practicing social distancing while making necessary adjustments to keep you safe and healthy. We're all in this together.
Hey guys, it's Ainge for Kings of Real Estate, and my friend and trusted realtor Tracy King with Kings of Real Estate is on fire. Tracy sold the home on Misty Ridge Way for $10,000 over asking price, never hitting the MLS, utilizing his extensive list of ready buyers. Agent selection matters, and now's the time you need to work with an experienced agent with a proven track record like Tracy King. I've had the pleasure of sitting down with Tracy's clients who always say we're so glad we called Tracy King. I've seen Tracy's systems and his extensive list of ready home buyers, thousands of pre-screened buyers looking for homes in the Knoxville and surrounding area. Tracy has a solid track record and guarantees to sell your home at your price, or Tracy will buy it himself, guaranteed, in writing. Do yourself a favor and call the agent with the buyers. Call Tracy King at 365-2323, 365-2323, that's 365-2323, and start packing.
When there's stuff that you want gone, give a buzz to Junk Be Gone.
Hey, Will, it's time to call Junk Be Gone and get rid of all that stuff we don't want.
Sounds good, Josh. What do you think? Driveway dumpster or full service?
Well, I'm thinking driveway dumpster. Junk Be Gone drops it off. We get to load it up for up to 7 days, and they come pick it up. Goodbye, junk.
I don't know, Josh. I'd go with Junk Be Gone's full service. You just call them. They do all the loading. No sweat, no hassle. You just point and smile.
No, I like the idea that we can take our time with the driveway dumpster. In just 7 days, we can go through the whole office and get rid of
what we don't want.
I understand, but with Junk Be Gone's two-man team, they can carry out that old ratty couch from the green room or take down that old desk upstairs that has a leg missing, all while I watch the game.
Okay, well, let's just agree to disagree. I'll go with the driveway dumpster. You can be lazy and call full service.
Whether you choose Junk Be Gone's full service or their driveway dumpster, give a buzz to Junk Be Gone at 865-675-JUNK or book online now at junkbegone.biz.
Give a buzz to Junk Be Gone.
Thanks for listening to In the Cage MMA Radio as Vince and Tim bring you inside the fight game of MMA with this unique weekly one-hour show. Join us again next Wednesday night, 8 to 9 on 99.1, The Sports Animal.